We are on the Garden Hotline this morning. It is a beautiful September morning. Get a little warm today. But we have Jeff and Robert from Horseman Brothers to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. Kathy has been waiting patiently. Kathy, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a question about the pin oak trees that have this disease that has the knots that are developing on the ends of the branches, and then eventually it kills the tree. Is there anything you can do when you first notice that disease taking hold of the tree?
Kathy, that's a tough situation. There's, I've read some things, and they're working on some possible injections that may help with that. But the reality is it's tough because it's a small little wasp, and it, you know, stings the tree, and it lays its eggs in the twigs, and you know the gall is like a tumor, and it just grows until it eventually strangulates the vascular tissue in the stem, and then of course the twig breaks off, and the galls usually end up remaining there for a while, there's really not much you can do. A couple things. One, there is some evidence that possibly, you know, dormant oil spraying may affect the eggs or, you know, the population of the small wasp. That might be worth trying. The other thing you can do is just culturally just possibly root feeding or fertilizing, you know, to stimulate new growth in other areas of the tree. And you know, same thing, like right now, if it's under stress from being dry, that's just gonna exacerbate the problem, you know. So that's kind of what you're left with, actually.
Okay. And then another question I had is, a few years ago when we had the drought, a lot of the tops of the maple trees suffered and didn't leaf out the following year, and we still have that damage, you know, 3, 4, 5 years later. Some of my maple trees seem to have had growth again. Others, it just, they're dying at the top. Is there like a serious pruning possibly to get rid of all that, or will that be too much of an effect on the tree?
Well, if you could get any of that dead wood out of there, that would be helpful, because that's just an invite for insects and diseases. So if you can get any of that dead wood out of there that's been sitting up there, I would highly recommend doing that, yes.
So, Kathy, let me ask, is the tree, though, is it continually dying back, or is this just old damage? Because there are some other problems, especially that maples can get.
I think it's just old damage that is happening.
Okay.
That has happened, and then you know, just haven't been able to get to it. But I was thinking if we do radical pruning on it, could get rid of all that dead wood at the top. But I didn't know if a maple tree can handle pruning all the way back. And if they can, what time of the year would you do that?
Well, yeah, we don't really want to top the tree and remove a bunch of live growth, you know, from the top. I mean, like Robert was saying, mainly I think it'd be a deadwooding situation as much as possible.
Okay.
And what was the other question?
Also, that was it, just about the people and about the pin oak trees that are dying all over South County and West County because of, I guess, I didn't realize it was an insect that was causing that. So.
Well, that gall, which is, it's like a tumor, and you know, but it's a reaction to the insect itself, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Appreciate those good questions. Up next, our next contestant on the Garden Hotline is Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Morning. I'm calling in response to that lady that called in about her oak tree losing bark. I've got an 80-plus-year-old red oak, and I had an arborist look at it. It's doing the same thing. I had a lot of it deadwooded, but they're calling it hypoxylon canker.
Mm.
It's a fungal disease, and it's really no treatment for it.
Yeah, there is no treatment for canker. Yeah.
but deadwooded out. I've had mine deadwooded, and we're going to fertilize real well this winter and see if we can't save it. But I'm afraid it's possibly going. We're possibly going to lose it.
Right. Right. Yep. Yep. There's once your big trees like that get canker, there's really, you know, keep it as live as long as you can, and then.
Right.
Yeah. Make sure you get rid of it before it falls on your house, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I had. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate the information. Yeah, it is always fascinating to me, words that sound like they should, like canker. It sounds awful, and it is awful.
Yes, it is.
All right, so in case you missed it last week, we did have someone call in who's very familiar with this show, the man who has hosted it for 30 years, Mike Miller. I'm going to play this because that was in the 8 o'clock hour, and I'm sure there are some people who didn't get a chance to hear him. So here's Mike Miller's voice for the first time in many months.
Good morning and good gardening to you, and a tip of the trowel to all the listeners that gave me such support for all the years, and hopefully they're going to support the Garden Hotline for as far as the future leads.
Tip of the trowel to you, Mike. Tell us how you're doing.
Well, I just got out of the rehab center about a week ago, so I'm not great, but making some progress, and it's just been a quite a battle.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Tracy's been keeping us updated on the GoFundMe page. How are you guys doing in general?
As good as possible. I mean, things are really complicated when you get involved in something like this, but it's no more complicated than everybody's having to deal with this situation where it's been so dry, and they got to make sure there's water in the root systems before winter gets here.
Yeah, I mean, any other advice you have for people? It's been a while since you've been able to give it out, so the floor is yours.
No, I don't want to give any advice. I just want to thank everybody for supporting me and supporting the Garden Hotline in the future, and KMOX and all the listeners and everything else. It was just a magical time of my life. Thanks to all the listeners and for their support of the Garden Hotline in the future.
All right. That's Mike Miller last week giving us an update on his progress health-wise and, of course, giving us a little bit of advice. He can't help it. I mean, he's been doing the Garden Hotline for 3 decades. But, yeah, his voice sounded good. He sounded spry and good to hear it.
Sounded real good. That's good. Yeah. That's encouraging.
And we appreciate people like Jeff and Robert from the Horstman Brothers who are taking their time, volunteering their time to answer your questions as the Garden Hotline moves forward. The number to call in right now to get in line is 314-436-7900. More answers to your questions just ahead. Let's see. Rick, you are up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
So I rented a aerator to aerate my zoysia grass, and I got some fungus. This was a few years ago. And I'd like to aerate my, but is there something you could spray on a rented machine in order to prevent something like that from occurring?
Rick, you know, a couple things. One, if you got nice zoysia, if you're going to get any benefit from aerating, you better do it soon. It really prefers more of a even middle of the summer type aeration for zoysia, but nonetheless, in general, if you're worried about transferring fungus or anything on any kind of equipment, whether it's a lawnmower or an aerator, you can use just Lysol be the thing I would suggest. Just spray it with Lysol.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. Yeah, I'm not going to do it now, but I just happen to have time to call you guys. Thank you very much for the service. I'm glad to hear Mike Miller's improving.
Yeah, thank you, Rick.
Thanks,
Rick. That's a cheap solution, Lysol. That doesn't cost much.
No.
Effective. Another kitchen thing.
Yeah. Right. No,
the
we're
forks
back to the kitchen.
Lysol and
the,
yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty
whatever
effective
works.
That's right.
Fungus killer. Yeah.
Okay, Dale, You're the next caller on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have a, I'm pretty sure it's a Norwegian maple. And early this summer and through the summer, the bark at the trunk has kind of split and pulled away. It doesn't look like there's any damage, but I'm just wondering if that's just a natural growth or if it's something I should be concerned about.
Well, I mean, that could be the beginnings of canker.
It could be any number of things. So maples, you know, they will. They're very vulnerable, actually, to what's called frost cracking in the winter months because, you know, their sap tends to come up early in the spring. And then if we get a hard freeze like we seems like we normally do in St. Louis in March, you know, then that can actually, you know, trigger a crack in the bark because the water coming up is expanding, obviously, if it gets cold enough and it cracks the bark. You know, the other thing they can get is sun scald, you know, which same thing. It's temperature driven from high heat and so forth. So that's a possibility. Tree, it hadn't been hit by lightning to your knowledge, has it? I mean, that can cause a...
No. Yeah. No, and it appeared to be healthy as a horse. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't... it's growing just fine.
Okay.
I just was just wondering if it's something I'd, you know, need to have an arborist look at or...
Well, I'd say, you know, like Robert was saying earlier, you know, if it's got a crack, the main thing right now would be you don't want to put any kind of, tar or anything on there, you know, and the main thing is to hopefully the wound will heal itself. It will, you know, from the inside or, you know, the inside part of the bark, it will start to form new bark and hopefully heal itself. That's the best thing. But with that said, you know, we were saying earlier, no, you don't want to keep loose bark on it. You know, if it's loose, cut it off, you know. Other than that, not a whole lot probably to do at this point, I would imagine.
All right. I've been on my mind for a month or two. I listen to the show every weekend, so I finally had time to call in. I appreciate you guys' service.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's been on his mind for a couple months. I love that. We finally get a chance to actually ask the question. And he said, healthy as a horse. You guys know where that comes from?
No. What?
No, where's that come from, Scott?
No one knows. The answer is a mystery. Maybe because horses were used for military and they had to have vitality and strength. That was one explanation. Another is that they have strong immune systems. So healthy as a horse means they have strong immune systems. That's why that phrase comes from that. And by the way, when we were talking about words that sound like what they are, onomatopoeia, that's what I was trying to think of. That's an onomatopoeia. Yeah. So words like boom, oops, sizzle, cuckoo, because cuckoo sounds exactly what it is. And then the other one was canker. All right. Up next is Lori. Lori, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi. I, earlier this year, had mulch put on around my flower beds, and it seemed like the pests got worse afterwards, and someone suggested that perhaps they came with the mulch. I don't know how often that happens. So I'm wondering, and I had a service come and bring it in. So I'm not sure exactly where they got it from. I could ask. It might have been like St. Louis composting, but I was wondering what about safe sources for mulch around the area. Also, another question, maybe related, sources for sterile soil. It's been recommended that sometimes to get rid of a disease or mold or something in soil to replace it with sterile soil. And then the last thing is back to mulch, your opinion on rubber mulch.
Well,
the toxicity.
I would not use the rubber mulch. The rubber mulch is most likely mostly used for playgrounds and playground areas or commercial sites, because to try to get the leaves and debris out of your rubber mulch, you'll have rubber mulch all over your yard. And it's just, it doesn't decompose. It doesn't, it's not practical for landscape beds.
Okay.
And sterile soil, I mean, the only way you're going to probably get that is by bags, and that's going to be very expensive to do that. And what type of mulch was it? Was it a ground bark mulch?
It is bark.
Okay.
It's not.
The dyed mulch, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, it's, you know, all they asked me was, how fine do you want it? Do you want the expensive stuff, the middle stuff, the cheap stuff? And I think I got middle.
Yeah, well, I don't think you got the bugs coming from that mulch source.
Okay.
If they got it from St. Louis Compost, which is a very reputable source, you know, for our mulch in the area. It probably just came from the being moist and, you know, having bugs around the house. And what kind of bugs were they?
I think scale and spider mite.
Yeah, that wouldn't come from the mulch.
It just seemed like the leaves all of a sudden turned yellow, and I was trying to figure out if it was pests or some kind of fungus. What's a good sources for soil? Because people are telling me that buying bagged soil isn't that great anymore for potted plants and for beds.
Well, St. Louis Compost has several great soils. They have good garden mix soils. They have one that's called Topsoil Plus, which is a topsoil with compost mixed in with it. They have whatever situation you have, they have a soil for it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Little plug for them.
Yeah. All right. Good question. Let's go to Bill. You're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah. Thank you guys for taking this call.
Mm-hmm.
I have some asparagus that I probably waited too long to cut. When should I cut it? It's really growing out. So
don't jump in at once, guys.
Yeah,
I'm not an asparagus expert on that one.
I'm not either.
I would cut it now. It's getting really big. I don't think I would let it sit in the ground too long.
You want new growth next spring, you know, for next year's crop, you know. So
get it before it starts getting mushy. Make sure it's nice and, you know.
It's nice and green and all that.
Yeah, I would start cutting that back.
Yeah, if it's old and big, I'd go ahead and, you know, cut it off, right?
Yeah.
And then if it's not good to eat, I guess just compost it or get rid of it or something. Because
I'll use it because it's too good of green stuff.
There you go. Get out there today.
Thank you guys. All right,
Joel, Bill. Thanks for the question at 314-436-7900. Jeff and Robert from the Horseman Brothers are your experts today. They can answer your questions. Go ahead and call in now because we have less than a half an hour to go in the Garden Hotline, so don't want you to be left out on this Saturday morning. Stay tuned. All right, it's the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. I'm Scott. Jeff and Robert are our experts answering your questions. They're from the Horstman Brothers. Look them up. Right now, we have Wendy. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi. I have some questions about cutting back perennials for the fall and winter. This year, we put in a bed with different heights of coreopsis. And I was wondering, is it helpful to cut them all the way down to the ground for winter?
Yes. Not yet. I would wait a little longer. I'm sure they're all, turning brown and everything, but I'd leave them up just a little bit longer. But, yeah, you could cut coreopsis all the way down to the ground.
All varieties.
All varieties, yeah. They'll come back and you'll start seeing them popping up, you know, mid-spring. But, coreopsis will, deadhead all the way down. Yep.
Okay. Should we put some mulched leaf, like our own mulched leaves down on top of that to protect it for the winter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good protection. Yeah. As long as you didn't have any diseases in those leaves, but that's hard to tell.
We have big old oak trees, and it's hard to tell what's in the leaves.
Right.
But
no.
Anyway,
you should be okay.
Also, yeah, we bought some, this was a couple of months ago, some baby yarrow that had just come from the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And we put in, about 8 plants. Only one bloomed. They're all very green, and they've grown. But only one bloomed this year, so we're hoping for blooms next year. Should we cut them back? They're only up about, 4 inches or so.
They're still kind of got that silvery foliage on them. I'd leave those going for a little bit, but they'll eventually bloom. Yeah, they're just getting their roots established. But
Should we cut them back for the winter?
Wait until they die back. Not yet.
They die back. Okay.
Yeah. Wait till the heads die back. But I would keep them going for a little bit longer. Yeah.
Hey, all righty.
Hey,
great.
Wendy, not to disagree with Robert, but I will tell you from experience, if you have that moonbeam coreopsis, do you have that one?
No.
Low and feathery, or because
we have sugar and spice, it's low.
Okay, because I do know the moonbeam. It does. I've found out the hard way. It just seems to do better if you let the foliage just stay all winter, and then clean it off early as it starts to come back out. But anyway,
The little one is the sugar and spice. I can't. The other one is. Well, you guys probably have seen it many times. It grows about 18 inches high.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The blooms are like, that I figured we'd cut that all the way down, but I just wasn't sure about that little one.
Yeah, as long as the leaves are brown, you can cut them back.
Wait till they're brown. Okay, we will do that. Okay, thanks for your help, guys. Really appreciate it.
All the leaves are brown. Yes.
Mamas and papas.
It's okay. Yeah. Drew, we got to find that one. No, it's okay if you guys don't have the exact same opinion on everything, it's all right.
Yeah, no.
Well, there's so many different things of different things.
I know. It's the variety.
Yeah.
It's the spice.
Some of those coreopsis, though, they really like, that dead foliage can actually help protect them through the winter, like insulation. And they also, I learned the hard way with coreopsis, they don't like a lot of mulch, they like a drier. It's a prairie plant, so it doesn't like a lot of deep mulch or anything like that either. So anyway, just experience I've found out.
That's what this is for. Share your experiences. Jeff and Robert. Tina, you're up next to talk to them.
Hello. I have a question about aerating my yard. I have zoysia in my front, and then it's a mixture in the back, a zoysia and fescue. Is it a good time to aerate now or later?
Tina, it's a good time to aerate. We've talked before that zoysia really likes to be aerated earlier in the year, like in the summer or early August even or so. It's not going to hurt it right now, and it's been so warm. It's it should be all right. But if you're really looking to help the zoysia grass, it likes to be aerated in the middle of the summer kind of thing. Where the fescue or bluegrass or the mixes, they love it this time of year or even later. The real push, for right now, like with September and even early October, it's like, let's aerate and seed, right? Everybody wants to overseed, and that's important to get that done in, like anytime starting late August through early October. But with aeration itself, you could aerate the cool season grasses even in later in the fall, and it certainly will help it. So anyway, it just can't grow seed real late in the fall.
I just want to aerate now. It's okay to do it.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Okay, great. Thank
might
you so much.
I might want to water first, like we were saying.
Right.
Yeah. It's rock hard out there if you're not watering.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tina. Up next on the Garden Hotline, it's Tony. Good morning, Tony.
Morning. Hey, I've got about a 2-year-old red maple. It's about 10 feet tall, maybe 2 inches at the base, the caliper. And this morning, I just noticed I went over to water it, let it trickle on the hose, and the deer have been rubbing on it, so they've cracked the bark. it's not a lot of damage, but it, you know, they've got the bark so that I can see the flesh of the tree coming through in several spots, and it's up and down probably about a 2-foot area. Is there something I can wrap that with, or what's the best thing to do?
Yeah, there's a couple things. There's like deer fence that you could put around it, but you know what I've seen a lot of people do is take a, you know, a piece of that corrugated black pipe, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. know, cut it all the way down and just wrap that around it.
Okay.
And I would actually do the ones with the perforated to get some mm-hmm. air circulation to go through mm-hmm. it a little
take
bit
it
better.
Take it down to the base and then up to where
the deer's doing the damage. But clean that damage off, though. Don't let any of that loose bark hang on there, but kind of clean it up pretty good so it'll help just it start to heal. Yeah. Yeah, even actually get a little pocket knife and kind of clean that loose.
The plastic pipe, I was thinking maybe wrap it with some kind of
but if you wrap it, you're going to hold in moisture and stuff mm-hmm. inside that wrap. So it's better to have it loose to get some air mm-hmm. circulation around there, and that tends to help.
And Tony, if you can think to do it with that black pipe, you know, the deer, obviously it's the bucks, right? And they're rubbing off the, you know, the velvet off their antlers or mm-hmm. sharpening up their antlers. If you can remember next year, and they don't do that in the middle of the summer, you know, and that black pipe can get pretty hot. So, mm-hmm. and I admit I'm guilty of leaving it year round on my trees, but I've read mm-hmm. and heard it's best if you pull that off, you know, in the next spring, and then just remember to put it back on in next September, you know, and leave it on through the...
Well, this was a volunteer from underneath another red maple, and I've nursed it along up from pot to pot, and now it's probably 12 feet tall and doing good. And then this morning I see this deer rub on it. I'm like, oh, boy. But, yeah, okay. Well, I wouldn't have thought of the black pipe, but that's a good idea. I'm going to do that.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tony. Up next, we have Keith. You are on the Garden Hotline.
Thanks for the information I'm about to get, I hope. First time I think I've called. I've got a grove of persimmon trees, some male, some female. They're sending out shoots from the end of the roots now. Will the shoots that come up be the same sex as the male and the female, or will they vary?
You know, Keith, that's interesting, and I'm definitely aware of that they are dioecious and have male and female plants. I really don't know about the shoots coming up. I would think, I don't know. I don't know if genetically if that's controlled. You know, I
wonder where I go to find out.
Extension Service, Missouri Extension Service.
Probably your iPhone might work too. I don't know. We could probably look that up right now. That's a good question, Keith.
I'll be listening to you.
All right.
Thanks for the info.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Stay tuned in. We'll see if we can figure this one out. What was the question exactly?
Persimmon tree sex.
Well, he's saying that as they send out their roots and the little sucker trees come up off the roots, are they necessarily the same sex as the parent tree, you know, I really don't know.
All right. We'll see if we can work some magic in the next 4 minutes and figure it out. All right. The phone number to call, this is your last chance to get on the Garden Hotline this Saturday, 314-436-7900. Jeff and Robert will be back with your questions. Stay tuned. Garden Hotline on KMOX. And as usual, when we get a mysterious question that we haven't been able to answer, we spend the next few minutes Googling and trying to figure it out. That's what we've been doing. And we still don't necessarily have a definitive answer for Keith. The last question about persimmon plants and trees and what grows off of them. Did you guys come up with something specific?
No. Except
it's hard to tell.
The male persimmons have underneath the flowers have three distinct. Look for male persimmon flowers in the spring that are clustered on the branches in groups of three and are immediately adjacent to the leaf axil. So right. Underneath the flowers, you have...
You always got to check underneath.
Yeah, all look right. Underneath, and if they have three, it's a male.
We're going to leave it at that. up next, Carrie, your question for Robert and
Hey, I have a question
Jeff.
About a persimmon tree. I'm sorry, am I,
Follow
am I
up.
There?
No, you're there.
Okay, I have a question about a persimmon tree. I have an old one that I need to trim some branches off of, and of course I can tell right now which ones are dead, but should I wait until the winter to trim those?
If they're dead, you could probably trim them off now. Yeah.
Okay, and I won't.
No,
I
you won't.
Have to wait
no,
for
no. In fact, okay. it'll be better.
Then my another question about coreopsis is I made the mistake of planting some new coreopsis with sun patients, and so I had to water the sun patients, you know, every day, all day, and my coreopsis got that white fungus on it. So
mildew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still kind of live. Didn't quite bloom quite as well once that happened, but so I just. They'll come back next year is my question.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And they don't like mulch, you said?
Some. Yeah.
Well, it's a prairie-type plant, you know,
right.
by nature. So, it you know, a little drier-type conditions is not really bad for corn.
So maybe next year I don't plant the sun patients with them.
Right.
Yeah, that,
right.
that would actually, you're right. That would not be a... good symbiotic situation there because, yeah, the sun patients, like you said, they love water and the coreopsis, not that it, you know, not that it's a desert plant, but it does not need near the water that the sun.
Right, right.
Sun
okay. All righty. Thank you. Oh, and I'm sorry, one last question. This year was the first year that the hostas got all eaten up, at least the leaves did, by the deer. So I'm continuing to water the stems in hopes that those plants will come back next year. They've been around for a few years.
Yeah, they should be okay. Hostas really rebound pretty easily.
And should I continue to water their stems? Even though my
neighbors well, yeah, if the ground is really dry, yeah, you definitely, the roots are still there, so the roots still need, it's not the stems that need it, it's the roots.
Right,
they need
right.
the water, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate
right.
it. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie.
You.
Joe, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have creeping phlox that's beautiful in the spring when it's blooming. Now, not so much. My question is, should that be pruned? And
well, it doesn't really need to be pruned. I mean, if you have actual dead, you know, dead foliage, I mean, if it's actually brittle, dead foliage, sure, you can remove that, but you don't need to prune the plant itself.
Okay. All right, just cut out whatever's dead and leave it go.
Yes.
Okay. Thank
All right.
you.
Thank you. Megan, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, good morning. I have a 18-year-old mature river birch in my yard, and I've noticed this year that the top is thinning. It's not as full and rich, full of leaves like the bottom is, and I'm wondering, is that a sign it's fading and dying, or could it be like all the infestation of the what was it that we had the bugs this summer?
Cicadas damage.
Yeah,
that's, cicada. Thank you. Yeah. Gosh, yes.
Yeah, and the drought. You know, it was a combination of all that is what. And birches tend to thin themselves out as they get older. Anyway, they get to be kind of a messy tree. As they get older, they do drop a lot of limbs because they need a lot of water. Birches really...
Yeah, I mean, we do have a sprinkler system that has
yeah,
been,
yeah, but sometimes
you know.
That's just not enough for the deep watering, you know, of a big tree and stuff. But you should be okay. But, you just got
to
clean up the
tree.
Mess that the birches...
It.
Birches and willows.
Yeah. I got both, so
yeah,
I do
there you
that.
Go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call,
Thanks
Mary. We
help.
Appreciate it.
You
well,
bet.
Megan, I'm sorry. Actually, Mary is next. We have just a few seconds. So, Mary, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I have a pink dogwood that has been just beautiful for a long time. And about 3 years ago, it started to have the limbs at the top die out. I cut those off, and there's new limbs coming from the inside. There's a lot of new growth. Is there any chance this plant's going to make it?
Good question. Guys, we got a few seconds.
You know, if it's sending out some new growth, I would think that's a good sign. Pink dogwoods can be temperamental, and I'm not looking at it. It's hard to tell what the problem really is. But anytime, like we've said several times, if it's got dead wood or dieback, let's go ahead and get that dead wood out of there. And you know, sometimes you might consider even some fungus control next year. All right. Thanks,
all right.
Mary.
Mm-mm. All right, Jeff, Robert, Horseman Brothers. Thanks, guys, for coming in again.
Thanks for having us.
It's the Garden Hotline on KMOX.